Blog Talk Radio.
Live 100. I'm your host, Tahaka Amana Elbe. You have to forgive me. We just had a last-minute technical difficulties. But anyway, tonight, our special guest will be Dr. Walter Williams, and the topic will be how Jesus Christ and the Virgin Mary was created. Okay? Make sure you got paper and pencil for this show. And everybody get ready to hold your hat, because this is going to be a dude thing. We're going to find out how this thing happened in the first place. We're going to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll be going in, okay? Hold on a minute. Y'all hold your hat.
The greatest move you can make beginning in 2022 is to move out of the public and into the private. That's how you get rid of student loans, child support, mortgages, foreclosures, and all this kind of business. Go to TahakaDebtElimination.org. That's TahakaDebtElimination.org. Fill out my contact us form by leaving your email address, and I'll rush my free report straight to your email box. Our economy is in shambles today for people who insist on living in the public. Move into the private. Make it as a secured party and creditor. Can you buy a home, a car, and other items you need and want? The answer is yes, and there are documents you use to do just that. Catch my radio podcast at Blog Talk Radio. Go to TahakaDebtElimination.org. Fill out the box with your email address that say join our mailing list, and I will send you my free report. You got credit problems? Contact me at TahakaDebtElimination.org. Let's stay in honor and get into the private. Hello, everybody. This is Tahaka again. This is a reminder of the remedies available to you in this country. A private man or woman can live a debt-free life if you choose, and that includes private banking. The use of your proper status in commerce is a fantastic tool to use. Request my free report at TahakaDebtElimination.org. Instead of setting up a will that'll probably end up in probate, why don't you set up your private trust? Exercise your secured party and creditor status. Contact me at my website and set yourself free. That's TahakaDebtElimination.org. TahakaDebtElimination.org. Get out of debt. Now is the time for you to set yourself free. Peace.
All right, everybody. It appears that my guest is in the queue. I'm going to open up his line. Area code 773, Dr. Walter Williams. Are you with me?
Yeah, I'm here, Dr. Tucker.
All right, my brother, you come across loud and clear. You have to forgive me, man. We had a little bit of technical difficulties. I couldn't get in dead on 7, but we in now. Do a little bit of magic, but we in here now, man. And since we in here, you want to for the new people that's on the broadcast tonight, you want to give us tell us a little bit about yourself before we go down in this thing about how Jesus Christ and the Virgin Mary was created?
Well, the narrative is on how Ethiopians became Christians and Jews.
Well, that was the last show we did, last Sunday. Tonight, February 26th, how Jesus Christ and the Virgin Mary was created. You remember?
Well, I'm telling you now, I'll do that, but I'm telling
okay.
you now.
All right. But, well, I'm sorry I interrupted you. But go ahead on, man, and let us have it. I'm sorry.
What was that?
I said, it's okay. Go ahead and let us have it. I misheard what you said.
Okay, well, anyway, how you want to start it?
Well, just, I'm leaving it totally left up to you, man. You the man. And,
okay,
but I was...
Want to say something
else? I got told off. That's my mistake, though. Go ahead.
Okay, well, now, the subject tonight is how... Christianity and how the Ethiopians became Christians and philosopher Jews. That's the title of the narration. Now, I want to let the audience know that I'm narrating this strictly from memory. I have no notes or anything like that. And I'm 91 years old, and... this is how I operate. I don't go around with notes and refer to notes. I refer to my memory about the history that I talk about, any history that I talk about. Now, we're going to start off with this fact, or these facts. The first known European to come into Ethiopia was a man from Scotland, a European from Scotland named James Bruce. He is recorded in history to come into Ethiopia using the Red Sea to enter Ethiopia in the 1780s. Came there looking for the source of the Nile River. And after finding what he was looking for, he left Ethiopia and went back to Scotland and produced five books entitled "In Source, In Search for the for the Source of the Nile River." Five book volume. The second known European to come into Ethiopia was a man by the name of George Annesley, a baron, an English baron, who took the same course that James Bruce did, the Red Sea, and he entered Ethiopia looking for natural resources. And after leaving, going back to England, the third European to come into Ethiopia was a man by the name of Henry Salt. Henry Salt was sent there by the British government. And in 1814, and he learned what he needed to learn and know, and he brought that information back to the English government, and he brought the information that how the Ethiopians lived, their language, their customs, the layout of their land, etc., etc. So those are the three known historians, or three known Europeans, rather, to come into Ethiopia. Now, in the meantime, in 1799, the Church of England had organized what is known as the CMJ, Church Missionary Society. In other words, they were missionaries. And this society was called the CMS, Church Missionary Society of 1799. 10 years later, in 1809, the Church of England had organized the CMJ, Church Missionary Judaica Society. Okay? And the Church of England sent a group of missionaries into Ethiopia to colonize them into and introduce them to and indoctrinate them into Christianity. It was under the leadership of Samuel Gobat, was their leader, and they met a strong resistance from the Ethiopian people, because the Ethiopian people did not care for any foreigners coming into their country. They met a very strong resistance at that moment. 6 years after that happened, a member of the British Parliament, a man by the name of Thomas McCulloch, stood before the British Parliament and spoke these words. He said, "I have been to Ethiopia, and I've met a proud people who were not beggars or And he said, "In order to conquer these people, we must destroy their spirituality, their educational system, and put what's European and foreign in its place." And so this is how they decided to do that. They said they put what was foreign in its place to make them think what's foreign and European is better than what they have. So they set to destroy these people right off the bat. Right off the bat. And so that was in 1835. 1838, two linguists came to Ethiopia. One was named Dr. C.W. Oldenburg, and the other doctor was named Dr. L.C. Craft. They were both linguists, and that was in 1838. Also in 1838, the Queen of England had called Samuel Gobat back to England, but Samuel Gobat left an assistant to show these two linguists the custom and the people and the languages that they spoke in Ethiopia. So after staying there until 1840, both of them left and went back to England, and and they created an Amharic Bible. Amharic and Tigrinya was a popular languages that were spoken in Ethiopia. So they chose to create Bibles in Amharic. And what the Queen of England called Samuel Gobat back to England was to make him and give him a new title of Archbishop of Canterbury. The Archbishop of Canterbury is an ecclesiastical advisor to the Queen of England, or the King of England. In this case, it was the Queen of England. And she sent him into Jerusalem in that year, 1838, where the Church of England and the government of England was building the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. He was to oversee the building of that. He stayed over there until 1850. In the meantime, in 1850, the British had found a young man, a native by the name of Lige, L-I-J, Gassa, G-A-S-S-A. And they took this young man, the British did, and made him the first emperor of Ethiopia. And Samuel Gobat, and that was in 1855. In 1855, Samuel Gobat had come back into Ethiopia, and he asked Pharaoh II, can I bring Christians into your country? Pharaoh II answered him and said, yes, as long as you don't bring preachers in here. Don't bring no preachers in here. And after that was done, Pharaoh II wrote a letter to Queen, and he gave it to a carrier to be hand-delivered to the Queen. And the carrier went into England, delivered this letter to the Queen, and she never answered him back. That infuriated Pharaoh II, because in that letter, he asked the Queen to stop taking Ethiopians out of Ethiopia and taking them into the islands where the British control certain islands in the Caribbean, to make slaves out of them. And he said that he hated all white people. Okay? And in the meantime, Dr. L.C. Kraft, the linguist, brought a student from England with him, who was studying under him to become a linguist also, and his name was Plaid, Martin Plaid, P-L-A-D. And they decided that this is in 1855. They decided it was time for the Ethiopians to be introduced into Falasha Judaism. So what happened to England. And Martin Pratt returned into Ethiopia, back to Ethiopia, loaded down with 29 donkeys, loaded with Amharic Bibles. And in the meantime, the AIU was being formed, the Alliance Israelite Universal of Paris, France, was being formed. And the Alliance Israelite Universal of Paris, France, sent a man by the name of Henry Aaron Stern in 1860 to introduce Colossal Judaism to the Gaylor family over there. They picked the Gaylor family to become Colossal Jews. The Gaylor family resisted both of them, Martin Platt and Henry Aaron Stern. Henry Aaron Stern and the Gaylor family members got into a strong argument and resistance, and Samuel Gobet had to do, what Theodore II had to do was go in there and break up this this resistance from the Gaylor tribe. And they, Theodore II took Martin Pratt and Henry Aaron Stern, and he detained them until the British came and rescued them. Now, once the British came in, now mind you, the AIU, the Alliance Israelite Universal, had been formed in 1860. So, with this, the Ethiopian they insisted not to be indoctrinated with this Judaism. And they resisted to the point where they that the AIU had sent another agent over there, regardless of their resistance. And the agent was his name was get my thoughts together, you all. His name was I'm thinking. Joseph Halevi, that's who it was. His name was Joseph Halevi. And Joseph Halevi stayed over there, came in 1867. And he stayed over there until the AIU called him back to England. And they sent another agent over there by the name of Jacques Stapelovich in 1870. In the meantime, Joseph Halevi had taken two Ethiopian young men back to Paris, France with him, to be indoctrinated further into Zionist Judaism. And when Jacques Stapelovich came in 1867, he stayed over there with the Gaylor tribe or the family. And he also kept up the indoctrination. And when he left in the following year, 1868, he also took two young men back to Paris, France with him to be indoctrinated. So in the meantime, who was keeping down the fort over among the Gaylor tribe who became Palacio was the two students that Joseph Halili had taken out of Ethiopia to indoctrinate them into this Judaism, Messianic Judaism. So when Jacques Stapelbitch came back into Ethiopia, he also took two of the Ethiopian students or residents out of Ethiopia, and he stayed over there among them. And he stayed there until 1955, making sure that they were indoctrinated into being Ethiopian Palacio. And they stayed there. He stayed there, brother, all the way until 1955. Now, I want to bring this out to you. Okay. So, that's how the Ethiopians became Christian and how they became Palacio Jews. Now, let me tell you this. They told the Ethiopians over there about a story about the Queen of Sheba. They said that the Queen of Sheba had heard about the wisdom of Solomon and that she was so attracted by that wisdom that she took and loaded up donkeys full of gifts and took an entourage and found Solomon. And Solomon laid eyes on her and she was so beautiful that he had to have sex with her. He had sex with her. She went, came back to Ethiopia after meeting and having sex with Solomon and had a baby by the name of Millilich. And and that's how they got that story out into Ethiopia. And the next story that they put out there was about the tribe that had built those nine churches. I'm sorry, nine temples in the ground. And those nine churches was built by the Zagwe family, the Zagwe family. They built those temples out of soft brown rock. And that's where the Zagwe family buried their dead. There were temples down there, burial temples. And once the British found that out, they went down in those temples, burial chambers, because they were all connected together. And they went down there and took those bodies out of those temples down there. The bodies of the Zagwe family members. And they made those burial temples into churches. St. Martin, St. Mary, and all kinds of saints that they made those burial temples out of. So that's how we got, let's say, that's how they got those temples down there that they're named and called churches today.
Okay, so, Dr. Williams, I got a caller with his hand raised. Just hold on 1 second, please.
Okay.
Eric Cole, 312, come on in. 312, you're on the air.
Yes, good evening to you, Tahaka, and
all
good
right,
evening to Professor Williams. Yes, this is Brother Yoel from Underground Bookstore calling in. I'm sorry I'm late, but I got a lot going on here, especially with coming out of this COVID thing. We got all kind of people down around me. So one in the hospital, one in the hospital seeing the other one and all kinds of stuff. But anyway, that's what I'm dealing with today. Anyway, I won't be able to stay as long because I'm supposed to go meet my daughter. But good, I had to call in, at least show up. And
all right, my brother.
I got one question, though, as I was listening for the last 30 minutes. Professor Williams, Solomon. So was that Solomon a real character in this situation or what?
No, Solomon is a biblical character. Never existed. Never existed.
Okay. So Sheba, or the baby that he had, supposedly Menelik, who was that?
That's supposed to be the baby that Solomon gave Sheba.
Okay.
So that's Solomon's baby. But see, here's the key, Yoel.
Uh-huh. Okay.
History, this Zionist Jew, it's in everybody's history. No matter where you go, there he is, right there, the Jew. That's
No.
Never been no Solomon. Because if you get a book called The Original Torah by S. David Sperling that came out in the year 2000, and I think you have a copy of that, or you sell copies of that book.
Yeah.
S. David Sperling, who was a rabbi at the Hebrew Union College in New York City, said these words: "There's never been an Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Sarah, Gideon, Esau, David, or a Solomon or Joshua." You see, so no, there's never been a Solomon.
Okay, so so they just conjured up that story and blended into the Ethiopians.
Yeah, they stick Jews everywhere they can.
Hmm.
Everywhere
okay.
they can. See, so if you
kind of validate themselves,
trying to make themselves a real human people.
Okay.
See, you can't do that because you remember what Shlomo Sand wrote this book. Shlomo Sand teaches at the Tel Aviv University in the illegal state of Israel. He wrote this book in the year 2006. The title of that book is called The Invention of the Jewish People. They were invented. Right there. You don't have to even overlook the book, if you were, what you written,
right.
The cover
yeah.
tells you, The Invention of the Jewish People.
Right. See? Okay.
So that would be my answer to you.
Okay. Okay.
Now,
well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I just want to, do you have anything else to say, my brother?
No, go ahead.
Well, I want to tell you about, tell the listening audience about after Bid or Two, who made the first emperor of Ethiopia in 1855, said what he said about white people and about he was irate because the Queen of England did not answer him by way of a response from his letter that he had sent her. And so in 1867, after detaining Martin Pratt and Henry Aaron Stern, the British murdered Theodore II in 1867. He was the first emperor of Ethiopia. The second emperor of Ethiopia was in 1872. Johannes IV, 1872 to 1889. The second one. The third Ethiopian to be made emperor was Milonek, 1889 to 1913. The fourth emperor to come on the scene and name emperor was a man by the name of Lige Joshua, 1913 to 1916. The fifth emperor was a female. Her name was Judith, who was the daughter of Melanie. She became the empress from 1916 to 1930. And the next emperor to come on the scene was a man by the name of Rostamaconin. Rostamaconin was a.k.a. Haile Selassie. Haile Selassie was a Christian. So, and he died in 1975. So that was the last of the emperors to be named emperor by way of the British. So I just wanted to throw that out.
Okay.
Would Brother Yoel, could you tell the listening audience how they can get a hold to your books and Dr. Walter Williams' books?
Okay. They can get hold to Dr. Williams' books.
Can't hardly hear you.
You can get hold to that Professor Williams' book, Historical Origin of Christianity and Islam, through calling me at 773-768-8869. 773-768-8869. Or they can email me at undergroundbookstore1@gmail.com. That's undergroundbookstore1@gmail.com. Right here in Chicago, we would be glad to look up any books that they want to, or trying to reach out and trying to find, and it may be a little hard for them to find, or you just want to do good business and do black business. So that would be great, and I welcome those people who are searching like that. In fact, I had a brother in town. He was a lawyer. He came to town and purchased a copy of one of Dr. John Henry Clark's books that he edited and contributed to this weekend. That was rare that I had, and he saw it, and he bought it. So we do those kind of things. So that's how they can get in touch with me, Tark. And thank you very much for not letting me get off the phone with that one and miss out on that.
Okay. Well, I got one question because I know you told us you didn't have much time. In your personal opinion, I'm going to ask Dr. Williams the same question. But in your personal opinion, do you think there was a man by the name of Jesus Christ that ever walked this earth? Would you say to that?
First of all, I know you didn't ask Professor Williams that question. You might ask Joel with that question.
We won't hear it again, but I want to, before I ask him, I want to ask you first, William.
No, I don't think so. No, absolutely not. The evidence points to no existence of them. But I had a Christian in here on Saturday. I told him what Dr. Williams says. Outside of using the Bible, using the discipline of history only, can you prove his existence? That man said, yeah, they got the tomb over there. They got the tomb over there. I said, brother, tomb don't equal no evidence that the man existed, man. You're just talking about a tomb. Well, they got the ark. They got the ark. They found the ark. I said, brother, that's another thing. And also, that you don't prove that the man existed. I threw up my hands, dog. He was too much for me. I said, you know what? I'm going to go. So, no, I don't.
Okay. Hold on a minute now. Dr. Walter Williams, could you please tell me how Jesus Christ and the Virgin Mary was created? Could you tell me that?
Yeah, the non-human Jesus, non-human Christ. And the non-human, the Virgin Mary, was created at Ephesus, at the Council of Ephesus in 431. The Malachite Coptic Egyptian created and brought forth a female to be the mother of Serapis. And Eutaches, the founder of the Monophysite, said these words. Said that Serapis only had a Osiris-like spirit, but no human nature. So in order to have a human nature, you have to be born through the body of a female. So that's when they got and created Virgin Mary, with the attributes of Isis, and the Ka of Isis. Ka means spirit of Isis. And seeing that Osiris was the only last deity of the African ancient Egyptian divine triad. The triad consists of Osiris the father and God, and Isis the goddess mother, and Horus the sun, S-U-N. The S-U-N had, which is Horus or Haru, had been eliminated from the African ancient Egyptian divine triad. This white image of Serapis took his place. And this white mother goddess took the place and was given the attributes of Isis. And when that happened, at the Council of Ephesus in 431 in Ephesus, Turkey, you had two white images there. The sun, the S-O-N, which was Serapis or Serapis, He was white, and he had a white mother, the Virgin Mary. And in order to have to give him a slave of human nature, they amalgamated, the Melchizedek amalgamated the two created creatures together. And once that amalgamation took place among the two created creatures, the Melchizedek Egyptian said, now this is the Christos. They were speaking Greek. And in English, the Christos means now this is the Christ. So that's how those two created creatures got together and became Christ and the Virgin Mary. But Eutaches said, well, I only recognize the Osiris-like spirit in Serapis. I do not recognize a human nature. So what they did, they had to, seeing that the African ancient Egyptian tribe had been eliminated, the only one African standing there was Osiris. And it looked awful funny to the world that here is a black deity by the name of Osiris having a white son and a white mother. So what they did with Osiris, they made him invisible. They made him the Holy Ghost. And he became the Holy Ghost. And also, he became, had the title of Father. Now, God. So, now, the story goes that God, which is Osiris, now invisible, sent the Holy Ghost to impregnate Mary. And so now, when this happened, that's how she was able to produce, with the amalgamation being done between the two created creatures, the non-human Serapis and the non-human Mary, that's how they began to that's how you get this Christ. It was speaking Greek from that amalgamation. So that's how they did it, Brother Sarka. Brother Sarka?
Yeah, I'm right here. I hear you loud and clear. Okay. I need y'all to bear with me for a minute. Have to take a little quick break. Y'all hold on, and we're gonna be right back. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back, and y'all just hold on. And ladies and gentlemen, as far as the listening audience concerned, y'all go ahead, put your seatbelt on, and hold on a minute. Make sure it's good and tight. Okay?
But in the bullshit department, a businessman can't hold a candle to a clergyman. Because I got to tell you the truth, folks. I got to tell you the truth. When it comes to bullshit, big time, major league bullshit, you have to stand in awe of the all-time champion of false promises and exaggerated claims, religion. No contest. Religion easily has the greatest bullshit story ever told. Think about it. Religion has actually convinced people that there's an invisible man living in the sky who watches everything you do every minute of every day. And the invisible man has a special list of 10 things he does not want you to do. And if you do any of these 10 things, he has a special place full of fire and smoke and burning and torture and anguish, where he will send you to live and suffer and burn and choke and scream and cry forever and ever till the end of time.
But he loves you. He loves you. He loves you, and he needs money. He always needs money. He's all-powerful, all-perfect, all-knowing, and all-wise. Somehow, just can't handle money. Religion takes in billions of dollars. They pay no taxes, and they always need a little more. Now, you talk about a good bullshit story. Holy shit.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. And our special guest, Dr. Walter Williams, Brother Yoel, is here with us tonight. Dr. Williams, now,
yes.
I need to ask you a question. All right, now, you already told us in the previous broadcast there's no such place, a man by the name of Jesus Christ is ever in the history of the world that walked the face of this planet. So, and the reason I'm asking this right here is because, see, I watch the news. I have to watch the news because I'm involved in agriculture and I'm growing my plants and trees and took everything, put it in the ground, and ready to rock and roll. However, you got disasters happening all over the planet today.
So
and you got all these people, disasters happening all over the world. Disasters. Yeah, calamities.
I still don't understand what you're saying, Brother Tarver.
You have disasters and you have calamities.
Okay.
Happening all over the world. And
correct.
I keep looking at these people, everybody keep on talking about, well, you have to pray about it, and God this, and we praying, and God that, this, that, and the other. To me, this is the most amazing and the most miraculous thing that I continue to see as I live on this rock, watching people continuously do the same thing over and over and over. Now, there's one thing I know for a fact, man. When you continue to do the same wrong thing over and over and over, you are insane because you're looking for a different result. I ask the same question every year. How many, when Easter comes, how many, on the average, how many Easter eggs does a bunny rabbit lay? And I continue to have people giving me a number. Some say well, probably 30, probably about 40 a piece and stuff like that. But how about the fact that a rabbit don't lay no egg, period? Well, we have a very, very serious problem going on in the minds of people across this nation. I don't think us doing this show tonight and me and you putting this information out gonna have no effect on nobody. Now we got Kevin Hart, the comedian. He wants to do a movie in Egypt. They stopped him from doing the movie because in the movie, he's going to show African people being kings and queens in Egypt. He was immediately stopped. They said, we're not going to allow you to do that. You can't put that information out there. We're not going to allow you to do a movie which would be in the mainstream of America. We don't want that information out here.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Absolutely.
Now, my question to you, this is my question to you, Dr. Williams. The people that's occupying the land called Egypt today, are these people Egyptians by blood?
They are called Egyptians because they live in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not indigenous. Their ancestors did not build the Great Pyramid. Their ancestors did not bring literacy to the world. Their ancestors did not bring music to the world. Their ancestors did not create all forms of mathematics. Their ancestors did not build the Great Sphinx. The body of the Sphinx is 2 city blocks long and with 6 stories high with an African face carved in it. And the ancestors did not build that Great Pyramid. See? So that's the difference. So you got to find out where did these Arabs, their Arabs, come from and the other white-looking mixed people over there. They're not the indigenous people over there. So they are Arabs and other mixed European people over there living in Egypt. And they can call themselves Egyptians because they live in Egypt. So that's my answer to you, my brother.
All right. Brother Yoel, you want to weigh in on some of this here, man?
Yoel.
Brother Yoel.
Yeah. Well, you know, I understand, by the way, Hawass, is that his name, Professor William?
Hawass.
He's supposed to be doing a tour. They got him going on a tour, and he's supposed to be here in May, coming through here, and I understand that he didn't start actually literally saying, my ancestors. As if they were his ancestors. So this man is now and lost his mind. I mean, he started to claim them for his ancestors, and he know damn well they ain't. So what is that, a psychosis or something or what?
No, that's as a result of you all. You Negroes over here will not embrace ancient Egypt. Okay? I've been telling you for years. Go and claim your greatness is lying in the continent of Africa, in a country called Egypt. You wouldn't do that, okay? You did everything but doing that, okay? I told Brother Tahaka, go and claim your ancient Egyptian ancestors. He did. He claimed his ancient Egyptian ancestors. Then he got lost and said that he was a member of, he was indigenous in America. You see? Other Negroes out here call Egypt Kemet. I beg these Negroes, do not call the country of ancient Egypt Kemet. So today, the Europeans, the Smithsonian Institute, have taken Egypt out of Africa. They can't do it physically, but they can do it with word semantics, and they gave you Negroes a African-American museum of African-American culture, history and culture, right there in Washington, D.C. So it's your fault. I've told you and begged you and showed you the way, took you by the hand, and showed you, brought you to ancient Egypt, said this is our greatness right here. But no, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't stay. You wouldn't stay as I told you and took you by the hand to ancient Egypt. You wanted to be something else. You wanted to have some type of other theory. You wanted to call it Kemet. And you wanted to be indigenous in America and all that kind of stuff. No, no, you can't be indigenous in two places. See? So it's your fault.
Okay, got it, William. So, Brother Yoel, help me out with that one now. So, you know, it's all my fault now.
Yeah, it is. So,
come on now. What do you guys think about some of this, man?
Well, he can make his mouth say that, but he now he's been got to the point where another comedian like Richard Pryor decided to do a show in Egypt, and they canceled him because they found out that he was thinking that there was his ancestors over there, so they canceled his trip over there and say, go tell your joke somewhere else. So, you know, it's still getting around. In other words, the point is it's still getting out there. And a lot of us are returning and are standing, and it's getting popular.
Well, now, you remember Michael Jackson did a video. Remember the time.
Yeah.
Where we had Eddie Murphy and the Kings and Queens and the whole thing is black up in there. They couldn't mess with him with too much money, too much power. And he put that video out and it was rocking and rolling. So I've got photographs of the Arabs in Egypt right now today with paint and paint brushes working on the walls and painting the characters white and being paid, whitewashed, and remove the truth so they can steal that from you and put that in their pocket. Now, this is really, really bothering me, man. This really bothers me. How can you go home and sit in front of your wife and children and tell them a lie when you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you lied? How could you do that? I mean, what kind of, how could you call yourself a man when you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you lying? But you're going to sit down and tell them that lie and convince yourself that it's the truth when you know doggone well you're telling a lie. This is beyond me, man. What you think about that, Brother Ewell?
Well, I think, again, the reason I brought it up is because of the fact that I think a man, I think he sees the history of ancient Egypt, and he is so glorious that he wants to be a part of it, that he made himself to start believing and saying that it was his ancestors. And he know, like you said, he know they are not, but he's psyching himself out to say that somehow, kind of way, he changed his mind and told him that they are his ancestors, and he's trying to claim it. But that says to me that he has a mental problem. That's what it says to me. Now, he might not think so, but he got a mental problem. And I'm sure the people that he talked to knows, recognize that as a mental problem, too, because they know that it ain't his history. You know, just like he knows that it's not his history, but he didn't convince himself. It's almost like that little cliche that goes, if you tell a lie long enough big enough, that it'd become, some people will accept it as truth. That's what he done did to himself. So that's what I think about that, Jahaka.
Okay. All right, man. This is. Now, you know, I told y'all that
I'm dealing with providing a curriculum of education for my children and for my grandchildren. And I've been doing that for quite a while. They come over here the other day, you know, and I was able to give them a portion of it to go. And I take a look. This is a college curriculum. They didn't go to college. So I'm going to give you a correct education. So, but what I noticed is doing one of the segments that I was looking at, I see the same identical thing. And I have to watch what I'm adding to the curriculum, because it is amazing when you see, this is the way I look at it, man. We got the human body. You got five senses. What you can see, what you can hear, what you can smell, what you can taste, and what you can feel. All right, now, it seems to me that what these people are doing is they are trying to take away from you what's rightfully yours to have by declaring, first of all, we're going to tell you the truth about Egypt. And first thing that you see is the image of the last thing that can ever be seen about Egypt, a European in there with Egyptian clothes on. And then, now, once you done presented to my eyes a lot, now you can go ahead and start telling us the rest of the lie. It is amazing to me, totally amazing to me, where you got something fixed in your brain and you are unwilling to look at any other alternatives. That is the most amazing thing that I ever seen in my life. Totally extraordinary. Now, I'm going to deal with a little bit of spiritualism here for a minute, man. And we'll be right back. I'm going to have to mute y'all, Max. We'll be right back. Y'all hold on a minute. We'll be right back, okay? Y'all hold on.
Get you to understand exactly how spirituality works. Spirituality can be explained through real science. It's just that we've been taught that science should be on the left and spirituality should be on the right, and the two of them should never mix together. When in actuality, just like Nikola Tesla said, the two are really pretty much directly linked. And so the reason why I show a lot of science and talk about a lot of science in my presentations and lectures and workshops is because if you can get the understanding of the science, the fundamental basis of how the science operates and works, I'm hoping you can make the correlation to the spiritual realm and understand. So when you think about trying to change a situation, or we're trying to create something or manifest something or enact some of these traumatic principles into your life, that you're seeing that real science backs it up and makes it now more believable, more achievable, and you understand how the function is to create the end result. Some people will learn, the multiplication table by memorizing the answers, right? 1 times 1 is 1, 2 times 2. I mean, you can just keep on going, right? You just memorize what the answer is, and now you understand multiplication. No, you don't understand multiplication. You learn how to, regurgitate the answer to a problem, but you never really understood how the problem functions, and you never understood the fundamental phase of how you get to the answer. And by that method, we've been taught in school all these decades, to the point now where we're just a whole bunch of good test takers and regurgitators. And we don't know how to work anything out. So that's why I do this level, this technique of teaching, because I try to get people to the base level, to the root level, so that when you're thinking about something, you go, yeah, I remember in the video when they were talking about this information, this happened here and this happened here in the science, and this is why it works. Let me focus on that. Let me visualize that while I'm trying to enact this or initiate this into my life. So now you actually understand how the problem operates and how to get to the answer versus just going, coming here and I go, oh yeah, let's say some hums and hymns and yeah, it's going to manifest because, you thought about it. Okay, but why did it manifest? Why did this happen? Why? How? Is this magic? Okay? To me, in my opinion, it's all based off of quantum mechanics and quantum physics. That's just my opinion. I could be wrong. But I think that the deeper you look into quantum physics and quantum mechanics, you start to discover a whole other realm that happens and operates totally different from how we operate here in standard physics. And you begin to realize that a lot of the things happening in quantum physics on the very small scale, subatomic scale, you start to realize that that's how real life operates in, on the spiritual realm. And start to be like, wow, this is really how everything is operating here on this subatomic scale. It's what's happening spiritually. If you can make the connection between that and understand how to make it work for you, I think you can manipulate the matrix. One of the things to talk about more recently, I've been talking about, being woke doesn't mean being broke. And, I get attacked a lot, over the years. A lot of people didn't know I was a millionaire before Instagram was even created. I made $3 million on a business deal, and I had done a lot of things. I was successful randomly throughout time. Not all of my businesses worked out. Some failed, some did well. I was fortunate enough to be on the side where a lot of things did kind of well, and the ones that fell apart or didn't work out that well didn't affect everything. I didn't go, down to ground zero. So what people, a lot of people are pocket watchers. So they watch everything that you got, everything that you do, everything that you say, and they're trying to analyze how much money you have in your pocket and how you got it. Forbidden knowledge, like all that money selling t-shirts, Ties, I think I sold 2 ties, I might have made $95 selling t-shirts on Zazzle.com. The majority of the, any money now recently I made selling the book, fortunately. But all these years it's been just really given out. I mean, if you add up all the stuff that I've done, it's well over $12 million in donations and raised money, which is well documented. Even just the scholarships alone for girls to go to college, $10,000 a year for single mother final notice electric bills, where we log in and pay the electric bill directly. In the winter, only in the winter months, because that's when it counts to me, that's when it counts the most. Last year we did $16,000, and that was for single parents, because some guys were like, well, I'm a single dad, we get so many single dads. I was like, okay, we did single dads, and we raised $16,000. and we paid $16,000 in final notice electric bills last year. We're getting ready to start that campaign again now that it's getting extremely cold now. So we're starting the campaign. Right after Christmas, we'll be doing it again. And why am I bringing, I'm bringing this up to let you know that, you know, if you want to help people, there's two levels, there's maybe more than two, maybe there's three or four levels you can help a person at. You can give a homeless guy a sandwich, that's help. You know, you can, you know, go to the grocery store for a disabled person and bring their food home to them. So, you know, go shopping for them so they don't have to worry about trying to get on a public bus and go through all this hoopla just to get to the store to buy some laundry detergent. You can help the person out like that. There's nothing wrong with that. There's also people on this planet that have to help people in a much bigger way. And the only way to do that, it takes, unfortunately, it takes this, you have to manipulate this fake money system to make it happen. And if you can't do that, then you can't make power moves and you can't help masses of people. You know, that's one of the things. You have to understand that to make power moves, you know, out there helping people, you know, in that mindset, it's going to take finances. So if you're always thinking that I'm woke now and, you know, what are people going to think if I get this new car, if I got these, you know, these new shoes on, please throw that away. Throw that, take that out of your mind and dump it in the garbage can. Live your life and live your best life, because I'm going to live my best life 24-7. I am going to live my best life. I guarantee you that. I will not stop. So live your best life and forget about all this being woke. I got to be broke and being, you know, I'm sitting in the car, I'm doing an Instagram live, and that day I was sitting in a Rolls Royce, which is actually mine, and then you got the RR on the seat, and the guy, people getting mad at you. You in a Rolls Royce! So if I was in a Camry, it would be acceptable?
Right.
I'm in a car, and I'm giving you information. You know, you point at the moon, and the imbecile looks at the finger, you know? You have to understand, listen, don't worry about these people out there. Don't worry about excelling. Don't worry about becoming financially successful. Don't worry about building businesses. Don't worry about getting big and setting big dreams, because I'll tell you what, everything that we're learning today, the whole Egyptian mysteries are all fundamentally based off of manifestation. That's really what all of it's about. To put it in one small nutshell, that's really what it's all about, manifestation. So if you're walking around and you're taking in all this knowledge and following all these social, you know, conscious accounts, and you're learning all this information, you're running around and you're telling people about all this consciousness and manifestation, and you can't manifest an electric bill, you got a problem. It's no wonder why they don't listen to you. They're looking at your lifestyle and they're going, not acceptable. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. They've been wearing them same shoes for 10 years. I don't believe it. You have to see, sometimes you have to see material things. Not saying you have to go overboard, because there's a balance to everything. Don't get me wrong now. But what I'm saying is you have to see material things as tools. If I pull up to a business meeting in a beat-up Toyota Camry, I'm probably not going to get that deal. Even if I have $1 million in the bank. If I pull up with a chauffeur driving me in a Rolls Royce, I'm probably going to close that deal before I walk in the door. I'm playing in the matrix. You have to understand the game. Cars, for me, cars are tools. I use cars as tools. I use my suits as tools. I use shoes as things that I like, I use them as tools. So it's got a dual purpose. See, I find a way to use them as tools. Tools for what? To get an end to my means, to fulfill an agenda. What's the agenda? First of all, I'm not a vegetarian, so I don't live off of, you know, air yet. That's the goal, but I didn't make it yet. I'm not there, guys. I gotta put food in my mouth and chew it and swallow it, which means I gotta pay for that food, and so do my kids. Okay? I didn't make it to that level yet. Last I checked, I still gotta log in and pay my light bill and my cell phone bill and all these other bills gotta get paid. So don't let people trick you. I'm saying this because people like you that are here, to me, you're on another level. You're on another level. And people will see you start to excel in different areas of your life, and they're already noticing it now. And they get mad. Oh, they get so angry. They get angry. They really will get mad. People have sent me death threats.
What?
Oh, I got them. Go to Legal Team Forbidden Knowledge, just a whole Instagram account. I have to keep taking these accounts down for threatening me and everything. Yeah, Legal Team Forbidden Knowledge on Instagram. Cats on Instagram account. Guys, it's real out here. It's real out here. People go, God, you're not afraid of the government shutting you down? I'm not afraid of no damn government. They don't care about me. It's these crazy fake wokes out here. There's a lot of fake wokes. I call them wokes. Walking around here and telling lies on people, making stuff up, and they don't have any real knowledge, so they look for controversy for likes. That's their biggest way to make likes. Controversy for likes. I don't have anything else to talk about. I don't know anything. Besides all these 1,000 million reposts that I'm going to put up, I'm going to go ahead and fabricate some stuff on some people that's already in the conscious community, because that's going to create divide and conquer, which is going to create activity. People are going to want to see, what the hell's going on? Now I'm getting views and likes. They're archons. They're siphoning your energy. I don't fall for it. All those accounts that have popped up and said this about me and said that about me and attacked me here and attacked me there, I never once did what all the other people they attacked did, go after them and make posts about them. You'll never see me tagged. I may talk about a situation, but you'll never see me tagged to those accounts. You'll never see me put their icons or their avatar image in any post or say, so-and-so said this about me, so-and-so said that about me. I don't care. They're giving me free marketing. Okay? They just sent me thousands, probably tens of thousands of people with all the hate posts and stuff like that. You're going to have to learn how to ignore. The more you excel, the more people are going to be very, very uncomfortable with you, I say that. They're going to, you know, there's going to be people that you may have to eliminate from your circle, because you're going to begin to realize that they're not really for you. They were just leeches. And as long as you were on their level, they were okay with you. But once you supersede that level, they're not so okay with you anymore. You're going to find this out. I guarantee you, anybody that starts achieving some level of success, it don't even have to be financial. It can even be just relationship success. It could be any other kind of success you could think of. And people who know it, they were like vibing with you on that level because, man, we were in the same boat. And as you excel past that, they're going to attack. They're going to do things behind your back. They're going to try to sabotage situations. All of these things are going to pop up. Just remember I told you, because I lived it already, and I saw it happen. Unfortunately, sometimes a lot of it's family. A lot of it's family. I mean, just unfortunately. You know, it is what it is. It's the facts are facts. You know, I had to even unplug from a lot of that activity as well. It's a very, sometimes it can be a very lonely life. You know, I'm getting a little bit more comfortable these days, because if you could think about me from all the way back to 1977, having almost literally nobody to talk to about any of these topics and things. Not that I was this advanced, but I was on this path for a very long time. And having to keep all this information in my head, going through school, going through, you know, all these situations and just like suffering with all this stuff I couldn't really talk a lot about. I didn't really start getting information out until like 2006, 2007. That's when I started getting information out in little trips. By 2008, I had a website and an app. I had the very first conscious app, which got pinged down. The website kept getting pinged down from an IP address in China. So somebody that had rented a server in China or used an IP proxy that ran through a Chinese server kept attacking my website. And I got to 500,000 subscribers on YouTube, which was back then, that was like having 10 million.
Everybody, we're back. Our special guest is Dr. Walter Williams. And we'll open up his line and let it back in so we can continue on with the broadcast. Y'all hold on a minute. Dr. Williams, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. You're coming across loud and clear, man.
Okay.
Now, Dr. Williams, as Billy Carson was talking, I was thinking about what I just ran into the other day as part of the curriculum that I'm adding in for my children and for my grandchildren so they can get a correct education. But I found out that this is the first time I ever came across this information.
What information are you talking about?
I'm talking about this white boy. And I'm gonna go back over it again. I'm gonna be able to, because I'm not ready tonight to give you his name and stuff and the exact location where it happened. But I know
It was up in, I think it was up, don't quote me on this, but I think it was up in Cheyenne Mountain, but it was one of them big, huge mountains up there. But this guy, he went up in the mountain and found a cave and went up in the cave. And when he went in there, he seen nothing but Egyptian hieroglyphics, cartouches, mummies. Some of the mummies they say was 6, 7, and 8 foot tall. And so what he did was, when he found this thing, he went and told everybody that he could tell to lead an expedition up in the mountains. The whole expedition came up to the mountain. But he, the man who was supposed to lead the expedition into the mountains to show what he seen, he was never seen or heard from again until this day. Then the United States of America went back and put rocks and bricks and boulders and all of it and covered up the whole entrance to the cave. And it swept the whole thing under the rug.
What was
this? Exact same thing down in the Grand Canyon and other places inside the United States of America.
I see. So,
go ahead. I'm listening.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Anyway, the only thing that I can say, based on the research and stuff that I'm doing here, is pointing to a whole lot of things that's not being discussed. It's one thing to believe in something, or to keep saying something just because you've been believing it for a long time, versus truth and physical reality. Now, the human brain don't have one function, and that's for the body. Everything about the body, your motor functions, your electrical system, your human brain, your senses, all that, That's what the body consists of. But what is amazing to me is what they keep saying over and over and over. Archaeologists, anthropologists, people performing boxes and on bodies and cadavers. When a man weighs 160 pounds when he's alive, but when he dies, they weigh the body after he dies, and it's slightly, just slightly less than 160 pounds. It seems like an amazing phenomenon to me, but I don't think it's that complicated. The human brain's responsibility is to take care of the body. What happens when the real you step outside the body? That means you got to weigh a little bit less. There's a whole lot of stuff that people say about a whole lot of things. That's why it's important to engage in three things: reading, writing, and arithmetic. And when you do that, you discover a whole lot of stuff. What do you think about that?
Well, I hear what you're saying. And what I want to know is what your Negro is going to do about Hawass when he come in here.
Well,
in America.
he had already been here. He came here. I think this was back in, let's see. It had to be before 2008. He was here, right down here in Jacksonville, Florida, and I was working at the place where he came in the, we have a place here called the Prime Osborne Convention Center. He came down here, and I was amazed when I seen him because he had all of these ancient African Egyptian artifacts on display. And the people in Jacksonville wanted to know, is this the man who went up against Moses and God drowned the Egyptians in the Red Sea? And he was up there to the podium explaining to the people, no, this is not the actual Pharaoh, that they're going to ask if he knew what the hell he was talking about. And I was looking at him, I said, well, okay, how the hell you know, and where the hell did you come from? Where the hell are you? What the
none
hell
of,
is this?
Yeah, but
go
none
ahead.
Of you knew. None of you Negroes protested against him. No marches against him. No protests. Him saying that he calling our ancestors, his ancestors. No one said anything to him. None. Okay? All the conscious Negroes, they said nothing.
Nothing. You're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. I'm down here in Jacksonville, Florida. Now, back in the 60s, Malcolm X came to Jacksonville, Florida, trying to get the brothers and sisters down here to stand up for themselves in this town. But lo and behold, he went back to Chicago and told Elijah Muhammad the following. He said, the brothers and sisters in Jacksonville, Florida are the mentally deadest of the dead. But if they ever wake up, white man's in trouble. That's what he told me last month.
Yeah, but I woke you all up. But you still want to go back to sleep.
Well, I'm not asleep because I'm continuously on a daily basis doing research, and I'm finding out a whole lot of stuff. I'm engaged in reading, writing, and arithmetic. Turning over every stone.
Here, Tucker, you could not read, write, or have arithmetic without the ancient Egyptians.
That's okay. All right.
Okay, but
it's all right.
Blame you all for the demise of these Europeans claiming Egypt, taking Egypt out of Africa, putting Somalia in its place, and all that kind of foolishness, and creating a museum at the Smithsonian Institute in Washington. About the African-American history and culture, which starts off with slavery. That's your all fault, damn it. Because I took you by the hand. I took Brother Yoel for years. I dragged him, begged him, come on, damn it, you're going to ancient Egypt. No, he was holding back. Okay? I got you straight. I thought I got you straight. Here you come out of another bag on me. So I don't blame. My new book is coming out called Dispelling Myths of Ancient Egypt, and I'm getting to the bottom of all this,
and you'll be able to see about who we are as a people. Because this is a race war. Don't you get it? It's a race war. No race of people on earth can show you and open the curtains to their country and to their existence and to their so-called culture, can show you anything great from their country that will equal the ancient Egyptians' great pyramid and Sphinx. Can't do that, okay? The Europeans can't do it. The Chinese can't do it. The Indians of India can't do it. So, therefore, the greatest people that's ever walked this earth in human form have been raised to a people, an African people, known as the ancient Egyptians. You will not accept it.
Well, I have to disagree with that, Dr. Williams, because we have, there's no doubt that we have the Great Pyramids in North Africa in a place called Egypt. Ain't no doubt about that. But by the same token, how do you explain the exact kind of artifact sitting on the land of Antarctica, in
on
the land of South America, Antarctica?
Land of what?
Identical. Antarctica.
Where do you see this at, Brother Tarka?
I got it from several, you asked me, let me answer you. I got it from several different places, and I have several different books that verify the same identical information that I got from there, from the mountains, the caves, North America, South America, all of them saying the same exact thing. But if it was possible for me and truthful for me, I'm not about to try to claim something somewhere else about somebody else when I know damn well it's a lie. I'm going to do an investigation, and I'm going to look at all of it. I'm going to turn over every stone, regardless of where that stone at.
Okay, how did they tell you?
I don't care if it's in Florida, I don't care if it's in Texas, I don't care if it's in Chicago, Ohio, Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, California. I don't care where it's at. I'm going to examine it. And that's what I'm doing right now.
What kind of artifacts are you talking about? Found where?
I'm talking about the same people you're talking about. You're calling them Egyptians. You're calling the land Egypt. And
what
you
land
were saying,
where is this land located? Where is this land located? Where you call Egypt?
It's in North Africa. Now that's the land that you are talking about. Am I correct? It's in North Africa.
I'm talking about where's the Great Pyramid built?
It's built in North Africa.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. Now, what land are you talking about?
I'm talking about the exact identical thing found in other parts of the world that I can verify.
It's only one Great Pyramid. It's only one. It's only one Sphinx. Okay.
With all due respect, Dr. Williams.
What?
With all due respect, the largest pyramidal structures found on this earth are found in two places. The largest, the biggest, the widest, the tallest. And that's Peru and Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm. brother, my brother, Tahaka.
I'm not taking away from what's in North Africa, man. I'm just only telling you what we found.
Why you let these white people do that? When you got a dollar bill, you walk around every day with your great pyramid on it. You don't have, see no Mexican pyramid on that, do you? You see the pyramid on the dollar bill is from Africa. The great pyramid is standing right there now in the continent of Africa. Why are you letting change your mind? I thought I had you straight, my brother.
No, you don't have me straight about a damn thing.
I see that I don't.
Wait a minute. Dr. Williams, could you tell me about anybody in your family that you know of that came from Africa? I'm asking you.
The lineage. Are you an African or not?
I'm asking you, can you answer me and tell me about anybody in your family, down your family tree, down your family line, that is an African that came from the continent of Africa? Tell me who that person is.
Where did the Chinese come from? From China or from Africa?
That's weird. Could you please
I hear what you're saying.
Well, would you please answer me? Please.
Okay. Let me ask you this.
I want you to just answer the question, sir.
I am an African. The ancient Egyptians are an African.
All right. Well, if you are African, wait a minute now. You just stated that you are an African. Where in Africa did you come from?
I came from ancient Egypt.
If you're called Africa, where do you come from?
Egypt. Okay?
So you are from Egypt.
We have far away from that. You're not going to get
that. Your mother and father came from Egypt. Is that correct?
Not going to get no Negro lineage traced back to Africa because they don't want you to go back there. They taught you away from it. They taught us away from it.
You told me.
All right. Tell me what lineage we come from the Negro.
Well, first of all, there's no such thing as a Negro. And
you can't say that. The world know you and us as Negroes. Okay?
Okay.
Now, where's your lineage back to a Negro?
It don't exist.
It doesn't exist, does it?
No.
You only lineage that you have to a Negro is in America. They took the ancient Egyptian and erased him. Took him and erased him out of history. Took him out of, put something else in your mind. So you can't use the lineage of us going back to ancient Egypt. Yes, you can. I'm going to ask you this question. The Black Physicians Association of Cook County Hospital here in Chicago asked me in the year of 1997 to come to the hospital where I was born and my daughter was born to give a lecture. They call themselves the Black Physicians Association of Cook County Hospital. When they took me to the side, the doctors did, to pay me my $500 honorarium that I charged them, I asked them a question. I said, "Doctor, why don't you call your organization, I am Hotep Physicians Association. That will lead you back to ancient Egypt as being Imhotep as being the first physician on earth, African, out of Egypt." The doctor said, "Well, how do you know that we are ancient Egyptian. I said, do you agree that the Great Pyramid that's over in Africa today was built by Africans known as the ancient Egyptians? He said, yes. I said, do you agree that during the time of antiquity, you had Greeks around as Greeks? He said, yes, I agree that Greeks were around during the time of antiquity. I said, do you also agree that the Romans was around today calling themselves Italians? He says, yes. I said, okay, let's go back. Today as I speak, the Greeks are here on earth still claiming and identifying themselves as Greeks. Is that right? He said, yes. I said, the Romans are still on earth and they're calling themselves Italians. He said, yeah. I said, you agree to that? He said, yeah. I said, now, where are the descendants of the ancient Egyptians that you say are African people that built the Great Pyramid? And he couldn't answer me. His mouth dropped open. See? So we've been taught, oh, this is a race war. They don't want you to know who you are. You got that makes you greater than them. In fact, you are greater than them. These people are inferior European people, uncivilized European people, spiritually dead people. They are savages. So, you know, I don't let no savage tell me a damn thing about myself. Okay? So, my brother, and don't let nobody tell you some damn Mexican pyramids over in Mexico greater than the ancient Egyptian.
Okay, well, that really is the only thing.
Hold on, I said, you can let them tell you that if you want to, but I thought I had told you different. Okay?
But that will. I'm just simply not an African. There's nobody in my family line dating back to Africa. I'm not an African.
That's you.
That's
you, my brother. Don't put that on me and others.
Well, I asked you to tell me from anybody in your family line that came to this country, in this country, that came from Africa. And you say you are African Egyptian. So I asked you, so that means that your mama and daddy were African Egyptians in Africa. You haven't answered me yet.
Where did we come from then? Okay, I'm gonna let
I'm asking you. Did your mama and daddy were ancient African Egyptians, and you was born there? You was an Egyptian, even if you was born in Chicago. Your mother and father were they came from a place called Egypt in Africa. Is that correct?
Let me ask you this. Let me tell you this, Brother Salfa. You saw me, right? I met you, right?
Yeah.
Am I an African or Chinese?
You ain't no African and you ain't no Chinese. I know exactly how you look. I saw you. You don't look like no African to me. That's why asking you.
How can Africans, how do they look?
Well, Africans have, for one thing, they have big lips. You ain't got none.
No, all Africans don't have no damn big lips. What is wrong with you, Chaka?
I'm only telling you what I done seen with my own eyes because I've been in the company of Africans. All
I
want to come inside the United States. They all have the same characteristics.
Okay, yeah. You know?
Yeah, they do.
All Africans don't have that, my brother. That's not the description.
Well, you got curly hair, and I have curly hair, too, but I'm not an African.
Okay, that's you. Speak for yourself. Speak for yourself, my brother.
And
don't
you
speak
are
for me.
You are an African. Is that correct?
I'm an African. My lineage goes back to Africa, back to the ancient Egyptians.
Okay. All right, my brother. Okay.
No.
And then
outside of your mother and father,
outside your mother and father, you have other family members, and they are African Egyptians also. Is that correct?
Let me ask you this, but my brother is this. Do you think that an African people built the Great Pyramid?
No.
No? You said no? You said no?
No.
Hello? What did you say?
No.
Okay, the conversation is ended.
Okay, I appreciate you being on, my brother. I thank you for being on here this evening, Dr. Williams, and I thank you very, very much for being on the broadcast.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Have a good evening.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, let's rock and roll. We're going down here, and we're going back to my brother Billy. Let's see what he got to say about it.
Conditions that govern the consequences of behavior, general principles of natural law, these are from Thoth, the Atlantean, from his mystery school, the principle of mentalism, the principle of correspondence, these are all Hermetic principles, they're really Kemetic principles because they began before Hermes, before the Greek age, the principle of polarity, the principle of rhythm, the principle of cause and effect, and the principle of gender. So we touched on some of these in the first class, we're going to touch on a few of these in this class. But I can't get to it enough. The principle of mentalism. It's kind of what I've been focusing on, just kind of giving you a little bit of my own background and where I come from. Mentalism. Consciously making thoughts become reality. A lot of people get offended when we say that you're God, I'm God. Oh man, you didn't make a planet. You know? The esoteric message still eluded them. They didn't get it. When you tell somebody that they're a god or a goddess, we got goddesses in here for sure, you're telling them that the divine energy that created this entire universe is inside of their body. And because that energy is inside of their body, that same divinity is part of them. And because it's part of them, they're God. Period. Point blank. It's just that simple. So part of the same powerful force that created the galaxies and stars and even the multiverse is flowing through your veins, which means some of that power you have access to. And we prove that we have access to that power on a daily basis, and I'm going to show you how. Your memory is really an incredible thing. You know, simple things like I forgot where I put my keys or my cell phone. So most of the time the cell phone is in my hand. I can't find my cell phone, it's in my hand. So, you know, dumb stuff like that. But for the most part, my memory's been pretty decent. I've been blessed with a pretty decent memory. I mean, you know, I can kind of really recite the periodic table of elements, you know, if I wanted to. But there's still things that elude me, like direction. I have no sense of direction whatsoever. At least I think I have no sense of direction. But the fact is, every one of us, every one of our memories operates in different ways, but it's just as crisp. It's just that we access specific parts of our mental through our recall process. But you don't realize that the your subconscious is calculating and taking in every single thing that's going on in every single second. Since I've been up here, every single one of your faces has been permanently stored in my memory and in my DNA. Every single one of your outfits, every color you have on, every piece of jewelry, every watch, the whole camera set, everything, every speck of dust on the floor, every piece of paper, every water bottle, everything that's in this room is permanently locked into my memory and available for recall. And not just any kind of recall. I'm talking about complete high detail recall. So what they did was they took, did a case study on people, random people who volunteered for the case study, and they split them in half. Some people, they took them for a walk through a city. That's why I have this picture up. And some people, and the other people, they took them all for a walk through a city, but they took some people and they did, what do you call it? They did, when they put you under hypnosis. They put them under hypnosis. And the other people, they didn't put them under hypnosis. So they asked the division of the people, half over here that didn't get hypnotized, what did you see? And they wrote down everything they saw. The people that were hypnotized, they said, give me everything you saw. It was almost three times the amount of information. Almost three times, just from being hypnotized. They were able to go and tap into the subconscious, and they were able to pull up information. And the information was verifiable because it was in the city that they walked through. They were able to recall jewelry and windows, not only the jewelry, but what kind of watches they were. Conversations that they heard walking by people during throughout the walk, and even signs of buildings and stores that they've never been in and never even thought about going into. They were able to recall that information. So typically you're thinking, oh, they're looking for things to remember, but they were remembering things that they had no interest in whatsoever and didn't even realize that their minds were even downloading that information. Okay, that's the power of the mind. So everybody here, I'm sure, I saw the movie The Matrix, just about everybody. Okay? If you haven't seen that movie, you got to go check it out. I saw it when it first came out because I knew right away it was going to be a metaphysical story just from the previews. A lot of the things that I saw in the preview of The Matrix, which was a long time ago, I was like, wow, this is how my mind thinks. So I had to go see it opening night. Amazing movie because they really exposed a lot of metaphysical information, a lot of quantum mechanics, quantum physics, a lot of spirituality, spiritual messages. And the main character's name is Neo. They gave him the name Neo because of the neocortex. So the neocortex is Latin for new bark or new rind. Also called the neophalium or new mantle. It is part of the brain in mammals. It is the outer layer of the cerebral hemispheres and makes up six layers labeled 1 through 6, with 6 being the most innermost and 1 being the most outermost. The neocortex is part of the cerebral cortex, along with the archaeal cortex and paleocortex, which are cortical parts of the limbic system. In humans, it is involved in higher functions such as sensory perception, generation of motor commands, spatial reasoning, conscious thought, and language, and you thought it was just a name. The neocortex is a powerful part of the brain. As a matter of fact, a lot of people get a deep stroke, and it affects the neocortex, and that's what usually destroys people when they have a stroke. If it's a deep stroke, that's what usually happens. That's actually what happened to my dad about, October, that's when it happened. He went into the hospital. Unfortunately, from a police brutality incident 4 years prior, they had broken his back, and it didn't heal right. That whole class I had to do it the day after my dad passed away. But he went to the hospital. He walked in there on his own free will. You know, somebody went in. His neighbor took him there, but they didn't realize he had been self-medicating so much to avoid the pain. He ramped up his drinking, which he was already a drinker, but he was drinking 3 cases of beer a day and taking all the pain meds. They kept giving him all the pain meds. And when they took him into the hospital and said, okay, we got to admit you because your back is really messed up. And you need one wrong move and you can be paralyzed. Admitted him to the hospital, didn't give him the, they didn't realize, I guess they didn't do a good research. They didn't realize he needed to have the alcohol and the drug medication, at least enough to keep him from going into withdrawals. And they didn't. So what happened? He went to withdrawals. And then withdrawals triggered a massive deep stroke deep inside the neocortex. And that triggered seizures, and then he had 100 seizures in 2 days, which completely erased his mind. So, yeah. So when you hear me talking about police brutality, I got a real reason to talk about it. Because when it happened 4 years ago, I said they just took 15 years off my dad's life.
And that's about how much time they took. I mean, he should be alive for another 15 years right now. So, you know, it's unfortunate. So we're going to talk about life. Life equals intelligence, okay? Life equals intelligence. Everything in this entire universe is made of light. This is where you're going to see a little overlap from New York. So we're living in a light matrix. I'm not going to go heavy into quantum holographic universe theory right now today, but just understand that at the smallest level, at the smallest particle, if you crash them together, you're going to discover that the only thing that really exists in this whole third dimension is light. Light, these particles are only light slowed down to a specific frequency and that interact with consciousness. And that's what we get the illusion of matter and solidity. Like I said before, 7.5 billion people on the planet. But if I take away all the empty space in between all the atoms of those 7.5 billion people, I can fit everyone into a sugar cube. Okay? You got to realize that. My hand is hitting this table, or is it not? My hand isn't hitting the table. My hand is repelling the table. Really, what's happening is the electrons in my hand are repelling the electrons in this tabletop. If I can phase shift the atomic frequency of the atoms in my hand to the frequency of the atoms in this table, I would pass my hand right through this table as if it didn't even exist. Okay? So when you hear about things like beings walking through walls and things like that, in my mind, I could be wrong, but I think it's advanced technology. I think that some of these people have the capability of doing things like that. I think there's beings that can even phase shift their frequency and walk from one dimension into our dimension and then back again. And then back again. So I think that, it's nothing but light frequency, an understanding of how light frequencies truly work and how to manipulate them. So basically what quantum physics has now proven through the double slit experiment is that all that exists are electromagnetic waves. There is nothing solid until a consciousness interacts with a wave and collapses it into something we consider to be solid. And what this means is, while you guys are all here right now, your house, wherever you live, exists as a wave, a waveform. It doesn't exist as a solid structure until you look at it, until you look at it. And there's a frame-by-frame delay, which we'll go into a little bit there. We're not in real time. We're in lag time. We're actually a little bit behind. But everything exists as light. The first ever photograph of light, both as a particle and a wave, was just taken. This is from physics.org. So they finally discovered a way to take a photo right at the moment that an electromagnetic wave, which is light. By the way, all electromagnetic waves are light. Okay? They're all light. That's what electromagnetism are waves of light. You can't see them with your eye because we only see a very small percentage of light. But if you had the capability of seeing in many bands of light, you'd be able to see trillions of waves flowing in us and through us and around us right now. Matter of fact, some of us would probably freak out because it could be a little horrifying to see other beings walking around at the same time in other light frequencies. As a human being, we exist both as solid matter and we also exist as a wave of light. You are literally a light being. Every single one of us is a light being. We are beings of light. Every atom in your body is nothing more than a particle, which has really started off as a wave, which has then now been slowed down to a what's considered to be a solid piece of matter. So the word of the week is electromagnetic spectrum. The electromagnetic spectrum describes all wavelengths of light, both seen and unseen. Light is a wave alternating electric and magnetic fields. The propagation of light isn't much different than the waves crossing an ocean. Like any other wave, light has a few fundamental properties that describe it. One is its frequency, measured in hertz, which counts the number of waves that pass by a point in a second. Another closely related property is wavelength, the distance from the peak of one wave to the peak of the next. These two attributes are inversely related. The larger frequency, the smaller the wavelength, and vice versa. So we're literally, and somebody said to me the other day, you don't think God cares about it, and God's not, if I pray to win my game, you don't think that God wants me to win a basketball game? And I was like, not really. In my opinion, the creator of this realm, of this third dimension, exists. I believe it's because of the science, to me, proves in a creator. This is, all the ancient texts say we're living in a creation. I'm telling you that the method used to create it is a light matrix. That's the method used for the creation. And I believe that from a higher perspective, if you look at a a very nice calm pond of water, and you take it, you're the creator, you drop a pebble in it, and you watch the ripples go out. And those ripples go out and they propagate out infinitely. And as they propagate, those ripples create circumstances. They create universes, galaxies, people, animals, alternate dimensions. They create problems and issues and love and light and hate and darkness and all these things.
Hi, I'm Billy Carson, researcher, speaker, and best-selling author of The Compendium of the Emerald Tablets and Woke Doesn't Mean Broke. I'm inviting you to join me on ForbiddenKnowledge.tv to enjoy hours of great programming, learn the secrets of ancient Egypt, unexplained structures on the moon and Mars, financial literacy, holistic and healthy lifestyles. Go now to ForbiddenKnowledge.tv and get 3 days free. While there, you can enter to win a Rolls Royce. That's ForbiddenKnowledge.tv.
You are watching Forbidden Knowledge TV.
Hi, my name is Billy Carson, and I'm the president of Forbidden Knowledge. We have an amazing investment opportunity here for anyone who wants to buy shares in Forbidden Knowledge. The money that's generated from this crowdfunding platform is going to be used to bring on a new content acquisitions partner. We're going to hire a...
right, everybody, we're back. I'm your host, Tahaka Amana LB, and tonight our special guest was Dr. Walter Williams. The title of the broadcast was supposed to be How Jesus Christ and the Virgin Mary was Created. That was the way it was supposed to go. And it took me a minute, but eventually we got around to answering some of those questions and stuff. And my brother, he's going on off the air now, and we was unable to come to an agreement about me and him. He won't be an African, but I'm not an African, and he failed to examine the fact that all of us, the people that look like me on this continent, perhaps they didn't even come from Africa. They always been here. And that's the problem that a lot of people is having, because it goes all the way back to the first lie that was told in the beginning, that civilization itself started in Africa without any further investigation on anything else. Now, when we look at and examine the evidence, we see the original, absolutely original people of the land called China, they look like me. When we go to Cuba and we see the original people there, they look like me. When we go to Mexico, Peru, South America, Hawaii, you name it, the original people look like me. Now, here's a man that comes to me and tell me, well, all of us came from Africa. Well, wait a minute. Hold on. How do you explain pyramids in the Americas all over the place, including Antarctica, including artifacts from the same people in the Amazon? Why could they have not already be here? Why do we have to be here as a result of coming from Africa? Come on, man. My evidence, my investigation don't support that. One of the biggest problems as a nation of people have who look like me is they believe they came from somewhere else. They have a hard time with the fact that they were already here. They was always here, dating back to the beginning of time. Now, that goes against the grain of a whole lot of lies that's been taught. Even though evidence is hitting you smack dab in the face, you looking at it, but you still will turn your back on it and tell me that I need to claim something on another continent in a certain place about myself. Sorry, I can't do that without a thorough investigation. There's no doubt in my mind that we occupied Spain for over 580 years. There's no doubt in my mind that the Guinness Book of World Records ain't telling a lie
about the largest and greatest pyramids that ever been found on this planet is in Peru and Mexico. There is no doubt in my mind that Africa enjoys over 640 plant species for food. And out of that 640 plant species, over 600 of them come from the Americas, not Africa. But as long as I run around and call myself an African Egyptian, that is a problem because there's too much evidence to the contrary. It's overwhelming to the point that it is totally compelling. Totally. But a man tell me that my greatness is laying in North Africa unclaimed. Now, when we do the etymology, when we look at the definition of all the words that's used, when we look at the word Africa, what is that? What's the definition? What's the etymology? Or we look at the word Egypt, okay? What's the definition? What's the ethnology? Where it came from? When we start turning over these kind of stones, then we find something totally different. But according to some people, you are not supposed to say anything other than what I told you to say. Sorry, you got the wrong person. Y'all hold on a minute.
Very easy. If you had the capability of doing something like this and knowing all this information thousands of years ago, and you went into a civilization that's obviously less advanced, they're going to deify you. They're going to make you into a god. We do it all the time. There's a place called Bikini Atoll in the South Pacific, and we went there to do nuclear testing, unfortunately. But in the process of setting up the nuclear test, we began to send military troops, and they had never seen any outsiders, never. They saw airplanes, they saw tanks, they saw boats pulling up on the shore, and they automatically thought these had to be gods. And then we started giving them things. We started giving them food, cans of Spam, all this kind of stuff. And they started thinking these were gifts from the gods. Instantly, okay? After we left, what'd they do? They started building airplanes out of tree reeds and branches, building AK-47 guns out of branches and trees. They even tattooed USA on their chest. It's called a cargo cult, and it happens no matter where you go in this universe when you have that situation. That's why there's a prime directive that's talked about in a lot of science fiction movies, but I believe that prime directive is a real thing. The prime directive of an advanced civilization interacting is forbidden to interact with a less advanced civilization. the Anunnaki violated their prime directive when they came to Earth and began to mine plant resources. They did it for about 250,000 years without interfering with the existing hominid on this planet. But at that point, according to the Enuma Elish, there was going to be a war breakout between the Ijiji and the higher class Anunnaki because they were just tired of the workload. And because of that, the only way to stop the war was to come up with a solution on how to end this workload. Now, the workload had to continue because they're obviously a capitalistic type of society because that's what they installed here on this planet. They needed those resources. They were probably earning some type of whatever equivalent of what we would call revenue off of these resources they were mining. They weren't just mining gold. They were mining resources all over this entire planet. So to prevent this war, this coup that was happening, they came up with the solution was to genetically modify the existing hominid and make that hominid into a worker slave. Now, they didn't just snap a finger and it happened. It didn't work that way. They began first initially with cloning. They tried cloning some of these hominids, and they had some problems with reproduction issues. Some couldn't even reproduce at all. Tumors, sicknesses, illnesses, early death, premature death. And they realized that that was just too much work. It's too hard to keep up. They were losing in production, not gaining. So the next thing that happened was they decided to see, well, if we genetically modify the human that's here in a way that we can take it full term at your birth, we might be able to get a successful Homo sapiens. That's when Homo sapiens came into view. 200,000 years ago, it's all we've been here. Us, this Homo sapiens sapiens. 200,000 years. We're the new kids on the block. We're definitely not even close to being the one-all be-all. We're brand spanking new. Because in geological time frame, 200,000 years is a blink of an eye. Literally, a blink of, probably even less than a blink of an eye. Okay? We're just like, boom, we're here. And so what happened was one of the Anunnaki females took an egg out of the existing hominid. There's a famous cylinder skull on display at the British Museum about this. And they then added some Anunnaki DNA to this egg, and they took out some of the genetic material from the existing hominid, added their genetic material, inserted it into her womb, and she took it to full term in 10 months. And she then gave birth to the Adamu, which means first man. The Adamu. And the Adamu was then placed in the Garden of Eden, Eden, which is located in where? Iraq. Wasn't in Africa, sorry. It was Iraq. That was home base. That was the start of civilization, was Iraq first. When we came, as far as we're concerned. Now, that's where they first touched down. They touched down in Iraq, in Mesopotamia, 450,000 years ago, mined this planet for 250,000 years, and then began the genetic modification of the existing hominid on this planet. They didn't create us. There's always people, oh, the Anunnaki created us. No, they didn't create us. We were already here. Our cousins were here. We're now an offshoot of the cousins because we've been genetically modified. This is why we have smaller brains, smaller skulls. A lot of the skulls have been found all over the planet. Our skulls are smaller. Our brains are smaller. Our pineal gland is smaller. We have what they call junk DNA, which is not junk. It's just it's been disconnected. You're not connected to the universal grid like we used to be, thousands of years ago. They've disconnected us. So when people say, oh, you know, according to schools, that our ancestors or these existing or these ancient hominids over here before Homo sapiens were just dumb cavemen. Not on my research. I think they were a lot smarter than us. Maybe not technologically. I'm talking about spiritually. Spiritually, they were more attuned to the Schumann resonant frequency of the earth, more in tune with nature. They probably used their magnetite crystals in their brains to navigate the planet and have higher levels of intuition, which we've been totally disconnected from. If you've ever seen a tsunami come in, like the one that hit Indonesia and some of these other places, the wild animals are never caught up or swept away in the flood. Okay? Why is that? They understand the heavy. They're in resonant frequency with this planet and what's happening. They can sense that and they can get to higher ground. They go to the hills or to mountains. Human beings, Homo sapiens sapiens, we just stand right there and get our cameras out. Look, there's a tsunami coming. And then we just get swept away. It's crazy, but it just shows you how disconnected we are. I was having breakfast with somebody the other day, and was talking about this giraffe hotel in Africa, where the giraffes are roaming around the hotel, and there's openings in the hotel walls where they put their heads in, and you can feed them while you're eating your own food. And he goes, oh, that's just horrible. They're giraffes should be free. They're supposed to be wild animals. That's like, that's imprisonment and torture. And then he bit into his bacon. After sitting there. But what, the point I'm making is, I don't have nothing against meat and bacon, but what I'm saying is, do you see the disconnect that we have? We're disconnected from nature and we don't even realize it. We take everything for granted. We're totally disconnected. We don't see it. A pig is about 15% more intelligent than a dog. Yet we slaughter the pig and eat the pig, and the dog, you better not touch that or you go to prison. I'm not saying anyone has a higher value than the other one. I'm just saying, think of it, you know, logically. It just logically would seem that if you're going to kill one of the two of them, wouldn't it make more logical sense that the pig is a higher level of sentient being than the dog, since it's a lot more intelligent? You know, so it's just, we're just lost our synchronicity. And we're trying to find it again. We're trying to regain our synchronicity, trying to regain our consciousness. And I think a lot of these cosmic waves are having a direct effect on our DNA and allowing some of us to start to begin that reconnection process. And a lot of the children that are being born under this, well, if you can avoid getting vaccines, just my personal opinion. Well, none of my kids are vaccinated, and they all became Division I athletes, state champions in boxing. You know, I mean, I just, you know, I'm not bragging, but it just is what it is. You know what I'm saying? Because that will definitely destroy them, and this is my personal opinion. Not everybody. Some of us get lucky, but autism has definitely increased. But that's one of the ways that they decide to try to dim the light of these new kids that are coming up with these special gifts. It's through medicines and injections, and it's a very dangerous thing. If you're going to have a child these days, you need to put together a birth plan that's issued and given to the hospital before the baby comes. And in that birth plan, you need to say specific things, like, there's no vaccine to be given to my baby. None of those, no eye drops given to my baby. The baby should be brought directly to my chest immediately and not taken away from me for any particular reason. Do not disconnect the placenta. The placenta should stay connected. I want a lotus birth. Let all of the nutrients come out of that placenta into that baby. Before you even get to the point of getting to 9 months, you should be definitely changing your diet if you haven't already. So if your diet's not that great, because breastfeeding organic milk to the baby is great, but if you're eating GMOs and toxic food, you're still going to give the same thing to your baby. You might as well go buy Similac. Okay? The clothing that you put on your baby should be organic clothing. Your diaper should be organic. Okay? You shouldn't be putting Pampers or whatever they call the next brand out here now on your baby, because those things contain toxic chemicals that are designed to give different types of rashes, so that you can just go then in turn and go buy rash medicine to put on the baby's bottom, which then, you know, it's just a cycle, guys. They've got you in this loop. It's a very well thought out system. A very well thought out system. A lot of people don't realize that fast food companies are well vested into pharmaceuticals, and pharmaceuticals are well vested into fast food companies. Why is that? It's part of the cycle. Get them on the fast food, get them hooked on it, make them sick, get them on pharmaceuticals, and they all profit from it, and they just laugh at us. They just laugh at us. You know, so it's a system. It's a system that's been installed for tens of thousands of years, or even more. It's really unfortunate, but we're getting to the point now where we're starting to recognize and realize it and break through. And thankfully, a lot of information like this has been left behind, because just seeing something like this and understanding how advanced you have to be, and the fact that we now can even perceive this and understand this and figure this out lets us know that we're going in the right direction consciously. We're starting to really wake up, and we're starting to really be able to put things together and understand things and put pieces of the puzzle together. And if once we can do that, then we can, now it's almost like when Enlil came back to the Garden of Eden. Enlil, not Yahweh. Yahweh's, in your DNA. That's where Yahweh is, what we talked about yesterday. You are God, this divine energy, the divine force that flows through all of our bodies, that enhances and takes us to the next level. But Enlil was the one who came to the Garden of Eden. Now, when he came back to the Garden of Eden and realized that his brother Enki had told the humans, Adam and Eve, about knowledge and wisdom and who they truly were, knowledge of self, and they put on clothes and became ashamed and everything else. The apple was knowledge. It wasn't a real fruit that you pluck from a tree and bite into it. It was knowledge. When he realized that they had gained a specific amount of knowledge and became to another level of sentience and realized who their true self was, he got angry, and then he banished them from the garden. Now, who was Enlil? He was also known as Satan, the Lord of Eden, in ancient texts. So now you see where you get Satan from. It's in little. Now, what he did was he played the big mind trick. He then fooled everybody into believing that his brother Enki was a serpent and the evil one, when it was really him. So when you read the Sumerian tablets, you begin to find out that after the Great Flood and all this happened, they reset the civilization, and people were multiplying on the planet in incredible numbers. If they got too loud or he got too pissed off with them for whatever reason, because they were having their own internal battles or they were just making too much noise, he would just call them. In other words, he would just kill them off. Kill 100,000, kill 200,000. He would starve villages, just purposely dry out the, he would give an order to dry out their fields. This is Yahweh, but they're thinking it's the creator of the universe, but it's really just a flesh and blood person like us that puts on his pants one leg at a time. Just a little bit more knowledgeable, had more advanced technology, knew a little bit more, and because of that, you know, we became a cargo cult. We deified them. So, but he tricked everybody into believing that his brother Enki was the evil. His brother Enki actually had empathy for humans, married a human, and was banished from his own home planet because of that. And when he did the genetic modification under the order of his brother, he came up with the suggestion, but his brother put the decree in Enlil to do the genetic modification. He was just trying to stop the war at that time. But when he did the genetic modification, he gave us a little bit extra. He genetically modified Homo sapiens in a way that we have the capability of surpassing even them. And then when his brother Enlil discovered this, he was irate and went crazy. He went ballistic on his brother. Because he says, how could you do this? That they outnumber us, they could become greater than us and more intelligent than us, then where do we fit in? This is one of the reasons why they didn't create, a lot of people said, why did they just create a lot of robots? Well, they even knew about that. AI was no good for them. They created a cybernetic organism that went on a trip with Gilgamesh. So if you read one of the oldest texts out there, the Epic of Gilgamesh, which is a true and full story of Noah, Gilgamesh was a half-human, half-Anunnaki. Okay, he was the son of Enki and the son of a human woman. And he was a giant, massive, strong man. There's depictions of him holding a lion with one arm up on his chest. Okay, this was a massive dude. And he goes on this journey, but they give him this R2-D2 type of thing to go on this journey with him. It was artificially intelligent. And they actually had a few more of them in the medical department that they had, because they had a medical city for healing. And they had a few of these android-type things there. This is in stone text, written, documented now, 6,000 to 8,000 years ago. So you just can't make this stuff up. I mean, you can't try to change the stones. You know, you can't erase the stone and rewrite it. This really happened. But they had conversations from time to time, and they realized that these androids, if they created too many of them, could outnumber them, and then they would have no need for them. This is why they chose to genetically modify a biological robot, humans or hominids at that time, whatever the hominid in particular was, and making Homo sapiens sapiens. But the good news in all of this is the fact that they actually claim and state that the current human that they have now genetically modified because of the work of the geneticist Enki, even though our lifespans have been shortened and things like that, but we have the capability of fixing that scientifically. We're in the day and age where we've already learned how to stop the telomere degradation. But because of the way that we are created, we have the capability of superseding the level of the Anunnaki, the level of these beings that came from elsewhere, spiritually and technologically. And we have all the numbers. Like I said yesterday, there's 7.5 billion people on Earth. And we are letting less than 100 people control everything we see, taste, smell, touch, everything our kids do, everything everywhere they go. We let them abduct our kids shortly after they're born and put them in these buildings to put them in the systematic structure of quote-unquote education, which is really not education at all. It's an abduction. If you go into ancient times, your kids were never abducted and taken away forcefully. What happens if you don't take them to school? Yo.
All right, everybody, we're back. I hope y'all got something out of the information that the brother just laid out, that's Billy Carson. However, I wanted to say a few things about our ability to acquire information and to disseminate information to the people, our loved ones. Now,
one of the worst things that you can ever be involved in is knowing something and delivering something to somebody who is not interested in what you have to say. It's amazing. I've been in that situation on more than one occasion. You actually, when you know something, you don't really have to say anything. All you have to do is appear. You can have a whole group of people talking about a whole lot of BS. But when you walk up, everybody begins to walk away just because you have walked up, which means zero BS. You are about to start talking about something that requires a man and a woman to think. Everybody ain't willing and ain't ready to be engaged in that kind of business. What they want to do is, we don't want to think. We just want to just say a whole lot of BS and then go home and think that we had a good day. We're going to dodge anything that remotely resembles thinking and reasoning and reading and writing and arithmetic. You discover that. And I mean, it happens all over the planet. It doesn't matter where you go. You can go in a grocery store. You can go in a warehouse with construction materials. You can go in a place where they're finna start building caps and columns for bridges and buildings and stadiums. You're gonna run into the same identical thing. Now, does that mean that you should refrain from reading, writing, arithmetic, and thinking? Ooh. It does not, because you are responsible for you. You have to live in this life and move and have your being based on what you know for a fact and you can prove. You ain't got to argue and debate with nobody. You ain't got to be doing all of that. All right. Well, anyway, I'm going to take another little quick break and we'll be right back. Y'all hold on a minute. We'll be right back.
All right, everybody, we are back, and we are down to the last 7 minutes and 28 seconds. I want to add a little bit more and food for thought, what you need to think about. Okay, now, you discover that when you go out among people, you have to be cognizant of the fact that you are entering a light spectrum, you're entering a vibrational frequency. Now, everybody in the place that you're going at is not guaranteed to be vibrating at a high frequency of vibration. You may go in a place, you happy, you having a good day, you excited, you vibrating at a high frequency. But when you get in this place, there is another person there, maybe a cashier, maybe a worker on the aisle, maybe in a grocery store, maybe, and you discover that these people are vibrating at a very, very low vibrational frequency. So once you discover that, and you discover it real, real easy, all you got to do, you ain't even got to say nothing to nobody. You get close to them. You can look at them. They get close to you and look at you, and you can tell them, oh, no, let me move back a little bit. Let me back up. Now, this kind of business happens on a regular basis. You will find out that it's all over the United States. Just think for a minute. All right, now, we got a college. We got all the students in the college. Everybody just have a regular day. However, you got one person that may go to the college or may not go to the college that has decided to come in the college and try to kill as many people as they can kill. It's resonating at a very, very low vibrational frequency, and they are upset about you having a high vibrational frequency and just enjoying the evening. Isn't that something? So you got to be aware and pay attention about your environment and the people you are around and where you go. You cannot just say, well, look, I'm just here and to do what I'm doing. I ain't paying no attention to the man over there. I ain't paying no attention to the woman over to the left. I'm just here. I'm just doing what I can do. Now, I know you have to put a little bit of work. Now, I know that. But it may mark the difference in you going in a place alive and coming out the same place alive. Because things are really, really, really getting kind of messed up here, especially in these days that we're living in. It's the most amazing thing that I've ever seen in my life. You got a man, he's in his late 40s. They done terminated him. He upset about it. So what he gonna do is he going back to the college and kill as many people as he possibly kill. Now, on the other side of the spectrum, the people in the college, they have no idea he's vibrating at that low vibrational frequency. They have no idea. They just victims. I got up in the morning feeling good. I'm happy about this evening and yesterday. And I'm going to go do what I normally do on a regular basis. But this time when I go there, all of a sudden, There's a madman that's trying to kill me. He done already shot my best friend. They did. And then he tried to shoot me. And then he went on to start killing other people and stuff. Isn't that something? It is amazing. So my advice to you is, why don't you start paying attention and start engaged in thinking? Keep your eyes open. Keep your ears open. Pay attention. Now, I'm not saying that everybody got to be a suspect, but tune into wherever you go and whatever you are involved in, and be aware of your environment. Okay? You survive. Because that's what it's all about. You get 24 hours in a day. Some people, especially some of the victims, they were given 24 hours, but they did not have 24 hours. They was cut down to 4, 3, 2, 1, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They were trying to make it to the next day, but they ain't make it. Because of external circumstances, they vibrating at one frequency and they heck of a fool vibrating at a whole different low vibrational frequency. Okay, we're finna bring the broadcast to a close. So y'all
you is in my way. What nobody has to say.
Thank you.
I appreciate you all listening to me, and y'all have a good evening. Goodbye.